You're listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, a conversation between two great friends with over 70 years ministry between them. Ministering on opposite sides of the border, Dr. Al Stone pastors the Bible Baptist Church in St. Thomas, Ontario, Canada, while Pastor Dan Wolven pastors the North Columbus Baptist Church in Columbus, Ohio. Listen now as Al and Dan review and relate their experiences in hope of helping others who are taking an interest in ministry. Now, here is Tim Talks.
That is a toast of Tim Hortons to all those who are bivocational preachers. Thank you, gentlemen, for working hard and for loving the ministry enough to work two full-time jobs in order to get the gospel to people. We appreciate that. Brother Wolven, thank you for your hard work and for your time in the ministry and for your willingness to do whatever it takes to get the church built and to help other people by coming up with the idea of Tim Talks. I appreciate it. How are you today, sir?
Amen. I'm doing very, very well, and certainly I agree with you and would echo those sentiments. It is scriptural. We know the Apostle Paul, he had to work as a tent maker for a while in some areas, and so it isn't as though that it's unscriptural, but he certainly was able to accomplish a little bit more whenever he did not have to make those tents, and that's really the goal. And the prayer is not so some man can be sitting on Easy Street. It's so a church can be even better established and to be able to increase more in the things of God.
Have you, since you've been in the ministry, ever had to step aside to another job, or have you been able to be fully supported in the ministry?
Well, being an assistant pastor for quite a few years, there was a time that I was considering getting an extra job, and there were times that I did things for additional income, whether it would be refereeing or, you know, just different things. So, yeah, there's been times that I thought that I would have to get a full-time job here, and the Lord didn't make it to where I needed that, so, but it is a thought.
Yeah, I even working in the ministry in Cleveland, I had to do some things outside of that ministry to help support a little bit, which was never a problem. I didn't mind that. The church took good care of us, but just need a little bit more, so we did some coaching and cleaning, different things like that to help out. So we do understand what it means to have to do those things. Let me ask you about managing time, Brother Wolven, as a pastor, as you know, a man working another job, family, visitation, sermon preparation. How does a man balance that time? Maybe get some suggestions as to how to better manage that time.
Well, that's really difficult. If it's hard enough for a full-time pastor to manage his schedule and time among church and home, imagine throwing in 40 to 50-hour work week in there. Wow, that's difficult. Brother, you are not going to be able to do everything.
That's right.
The first thing you have to do is prioritize what is the most important. The most important is going to be ministering to your people and getting out the gospel. And so training those to get out the gospel, our church members must get past the point of thinking that a pastor is a paid soul winner. We all must be giving out the gospel. Prioritize your time. Look at your time, how much you've got. You're looking at basically, because of family obligations, you're looking at basically probably 15 to 20 hours a week. That's really about all that you have, apart from the actual services. So you've got to understand that you may need to use some resources for Sunday school curriculum instead of just coming up with your own. Obviously, your study is important, but it can't be only that. Ask for God to show you what people in the church may be able to assist and be able to help on different things.
I think the old adage that people put up with poor preaching, but they won't put up with bad pastoring, would maybe apply to some of those things as well. That, you know, I know guys that want to spend, you know, 8, 10, 12 hours plus on a message. When you're working bivocational, you're probably not going to be able to do that. You're going to do the best you can, and you want to give them something good. But at the same time, they need that pastor. That's the biggest need that they have. They need somebody that's available to that to the best of your ability. Obviously, your people are going to have to be understanding that, you know, I'm working a full-time job. I can't just run over whenever, but I'll be there as soon as I can.
Yes.
And I think bivocationals for younger men sometimes, because you can go on a little less sleep. you know, you might have to work into the later hours of the night and maybe into the early hours of the morning, and you're going to be spent. You're going to be exhausted at times doing that. And again, as you get into that pastoral role full time, I think you're going to find that if you really give yourself to the pastor, the ministry, you're going to spend as much or even more time sometimes. If you're a good pastor, there's some guys that won't, but there's a lot of guys that are doing a lot of things, ministry's growing, and you're going to have to spend a lot of that time. I know even this past week, you know, we tried to get together and do some recording, and you had to run and, you know, get bus parts, you had to go to some other stores, and you had some help with that, but that was time taken from other things. And so you do have to be a good manager of your time, no matter where you're at in the ministry, for sure, or it'll get away from you.
I would say along with that, part of managing your time is being very careful on how many extra ministries that you start adding also. I think it's unreasonable to expect personally a bus ministry.
Yeah.
You're not even paying your pastor yet. Yes, I know we want to reach the lost, but what you bought a bus for or a van for, unless you're allowing that pastor to use it as a vehicle throughout the week, I mean, it's much better to be able to put the money towards him being able to even be part-time. So not to expect the church members themselves, and sometimes the pastor just needs to be honest and educate the people that our priority is winning souls, getting people into church, discipling those that come. And other than that, we're not starting all of, you know, four or five, six different ministries. I think that's extremely unwise and unfair, because all that's doing is stalling the opportunity of that pastor to be full-time.
Yeah. And I'll tell you this, that if the pastor's wife is concerned about finances, if they're constantly having to worry if they're going to have enough, your pastor is not going to be what he needs to be. That's something that people have to understand. The pastor's no different than anybody else. If your wife's concerned that you're not making enough money to care for her children, or your children, I should say, there's going to be some hardships in that. So those are some things you have to consider. What would you say would be some first things that you would spend money on if you're a bivocational pastor? What are some things that you'd use church money for in order to get you out of that situation?
For the states, anyway, healthcare is huge.
Yeah, we don't have that.
That may be something that you do last, or it may be something you do first, depending on where he's working, if they're providing that insurance. But many guys are working, and purposely, it's not full-time. It's 30 hours, 36 hours. But because they're just shy of the 40 hours, the company doesn't have to come up with health care. So health care may be something. A vehicle, for example, if you're going to be using a van to pick up kids and you think that's a priority for your church, then allow them to use it as a family vehicle also throughout the week. And of course, it ought to stay clean and those kind of things, but that would be an opportunity as well. Probably anything with the building so it doesn't fall apart. You know, the upkeep of the building, that's going to be a priority, but you don't need to start redecorating the bathrooms while the pastor isn't even getting a salary.
Absolutely. We definitely don't have to worry about the healthcare issue here, which is very, very nice. We also have in Canada, and I think you guys have there too, do you have a child tax credit? If you have small children, do you get a tax break for that?
Income credit, yeah. Some people get that back at income tax time,
right.
Yeah.
Our folks get a check from the government every month, depending on the number of children you have. I want to say it's around $1,200 a month per child.
Oh, good grief. We don't have anything like that.
Yeah. Don't quote me on that. I know I just talked to somebody the other day, and I wasn't sure if it was for all the kids or what, but it was a fair bit. So that's something we have as well. So I'm sure there's guys lining up to come to Canada now to pastor, but I'll tell you, it's still very, very expensive to live here, and those things do help, but it doesn't make you on easy street for sure.
In a financial aspect, I don't think that a pastor should anymore opt out of Social Security.
No.
And so if you and your church are not making above the poverty level, I don't think it's a sin, and I don't think it's a great shame if you file for some government assistance until your income gets up to where it needs to be.
Yeah, I agree. You do what you got to do, and again, you don't want to you don't want to just use that and coast or whatever. I think most of us understand that.
Amen.
But definitely there's some things that you can do as well. We've got about 2.5 minutes left. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about that bivocational pastor and his opportunity to use his job as an outreach. How much time do you think a man should take, if he can, in the job to try maybe promote himself in the pastorate and his work for the Lord?
Obviously, as you know, it's going to depend on the job. Mm-hmm. If it's he's on an assembly line somewhere,
right.
Hey, at break time, pass out tracts. One of the largest Baptist churches in the United States started with a man preaching at his lunch hour in the B.F. Goodyear plant. That's how Akron Baptist Temple began. Ultimately, it was running 8,000 to 9,000 a Sunday. Mm-hmm. But it began with a man who was burdened about reaching the lost, and pretty much eventually the company allowed him to preach at all of the different lunch breaks, and he didn't have to clock back in and go back to work because they were so impressed with the gospel. He was preaching to 800 guys at a time, so he's preaching to 3,000 and 4,000 every day, giving them the gospel. So, yeah, there's many things that can be done.
Yeah, wow, can you imagine? Dr. Billington built a great work there. Unbelievable, what a testimony, what the Lord did there, for
Amen.
Sure. I want to say, as we kind of round this thing out for the week, that, again, being bivocational is not necessarily a bad thing. I think it can be a great character builder. I think it can be a great experience. I think it can give you a great number of contacts if you use it properly. I think it can be a great lesson for your church as to your faithfulness and your character. There are a lot of good things that can come of it.
Yes, I agree wholeheartedly. Yet the church itself needs to have the burden to try to do more. Let me read out of 2 Corinthians 12:13, where the Apostle Paul, as he was addressing the Corinthian church, which was a carnal church, said, "For what is it wherein ye were inferior to other churches, except it be that I myself was not burdensome to you?" They did not provide for him financially. And mm-hmm. then he says, "Forgive me this wrong."
Right.
He felt badly that he had not taught that congregation, you should be taking care of my needs financially. And so there is that principle in the scripture, not to muzzle out the ox that treadeth out the corn, that someone who preaches the gospel should be living of the gospel also. So when church members would have that concept of, hey, this is working fine for me, it's not working fine for God.
Bivocational, it's a reality today, and I think many young men coming up are going to have to consider it and be prepared for it. And maybe you're a young man today in training. There's nothing wrong with learning a trade. If you're going to come to Canada, if you're going to come to Canada and minister, you're going to get in a lot quicker and be more effective if you have a trade that you can bring with you. They're allowing tradesmen to come into our country, and I'm sure that applies in many places around the world. So, and it never hurts to have it. So God bless you for working hard. I appreciate
Amen,
it.
Amen, brother.
And for those guys that are solely working in the ministry, work hard and be an example to these guys and be a help to those guys. Be a help to them. Call them. Encourage them. Take them out for a steak dinner. Send them a new suit once in a while. Do something to help a guy out.
Amen.
This is Tim Talks, and we're taking an interest in ministry in bivocational and in univocational ministries. We love you and appreciate today. I'm Brother Al Stone.
Amen. This is Dan Wolven from Columbus, Ohio. Again, don't put pressure upon yourself. Comparing ourselves among ourselves, we're not wise.
Not wise. Very good. God bless you. Have a great day. This is Tim Talks.
You've been listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, with new podcasts added each Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. To learn more about your hosts, Dr. Al Stone and Pastor Dan Wolven, you can visit us at timtalks.com. That's TIIM talks.com.